good singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high. God has been good to me, and I hope you can sing that as well. Take your Bible, and thank you very much. I see you got a thumbs up. Sometimes I can't remember which thumb to be able to look at, but thank you. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of St. John, chapter number 12, in the book of St. John, chapter number 12. And we'll be looking there in the passage there, chapter 12. If you're able to stand, then do so while we look, verse 1. And then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. That's something in it. He wanted to make sure you knew exactly who he's talking about. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. In case you're wondering if there's another one, this is the betrayer. And why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor. See what a hypocrite Judas is? It would have looked bad, you know, if he told the truth, but he felt like, I'm going to look like a hero because I care about the poor. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. She has kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. You know what that passage there will teach you? It's better that you tithe and give missions above your tithe in the house of God to the work of God than it is to give something to the poor. That's what it says. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom also that he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you come to know Jesus Christ, they want to kill you just like they do the Lord. Because by the reason of him, many Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for him. And we ask you now, you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. Once again, I appreciate all the good singing that we've had. What a great job, what great songs. And there's nothing like the songs of Zion to be able to flood your heart with the joy of the Lord. In this lesson that we're looking at, I want to preach about, if you will, the results of having revival deep down in your heart and your soul. Do you know that when you begin to look into it and finally that there Lazarus that had died, and he died that it might manifest the Lord and the glory of God and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you that when you read in chapter number 11, do you realize to know that there was a lot of people that came there because of the fact that Mary and because that Martha, they were hurting on the inside. They had lost their brother through the portal of death. I tell you, these are people that are just like you and I. They lived in a different period of time, but it hurt them just as badly to see their brother Lazarus as he died and that he gave up the ghost. And I'll tell you something, is that you're going to find they begin to have a lot of questions. Why could not the Lord have at least put this off until another time or not caused him to be able to leave here through the portal of death? Those are questions that we always have. People that are the same everywhere you go, whatever period of time, they have the same fears we've got, same doubts we've got, same questions that we've got. And I want to tell you right now is God has been good to us, and he's on the throne, and everything's running right on time. And make no mistake about it whatsoever, that whenever God brings something in your life, you'll find out there'll be a greater purpose on the other side of this thing. Now, Judas is there. I started to give this a title, but I didn't. I'll just tell you, there's a Judas in every crowd. They're not going by that name. You ever see anybody in all your life, in all your years? Yeah, you ever see anybody? I had a preacher ask one time, you ever see anybody that was named Judas? No, you won't find anybody naming their kid. Then he asked me, he said, does anybody know of a Jezebel? And I said, yes, sir, but she's not going by that name. Of course, that made people chuckle just a tad. Now, people don't want to be able to identify with that. They don't want to identify with that kind of name and that stigma that's on there. I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, is that whenever you look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and know that Lazarus, he had been dead in chapter number 11, but you'll find out that the Lord there came and revived him. That means that down the road he's going to have to die again because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And let me tell you, whenever Jesus came out of the tomb, you'll find out is that after he was glorified, so forth and on, and he appeared unto many, and make no mistake about it, is that you'll find there are those that were present here whenever Lazarus had been resurrected, or revived, I should say. He was brought back to life. Talk about revival, friend. That's got to be real revival. I want to say that when you begin to look into him, there were folks that had come there that they might be able to comfort Mary and Martha. One of the passages in these two chapters that are here, that Jesus loved Mary and loved Martha and loved Lazarus. And what a good thing that is. You know, every now and again, you just got to remind yourself that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That doesn't mean that you're not going to ever have any problem whatsoever. In fact, is you'll find that Lazarus, because that he had been revived, and I call it a resurrection, but revived, if you will, by the Lord, there were many people believing on Jesus because of him. And therefore, they wanted to put Lazarus to death. They got ready to try to kill him as well. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find there's people that are there. Some of them are holy, and some of them are not. Some of them are happy because of what's transpired, but some of them are not. Some of them are hypocrites, but some of them are generous and glad. And let me tell you, is that you're going to have to deal with all kinds of people. There were tithers that were there, and you'll find there were people that wanted to give as unto the Lord. And by the way, let me tell you, is that there are those that think that giving to the Lord and the church is a waste of money. Judas felt that way. He's looking at that money and he's saying, man, I'd like to have a pocket full of that. Why is it, he said, are y'all making this waste and giving that unto the Lord? Why are you doing that? That could have been sold for 300 pence or more and given to the poor. And Jesus said, you always have the poor. She's doing this against the day of my burying. And I want to tell you right now, you're going to find out is that in this lesson that we're looking at, is that there was a precious offering that was made. Now, this woman had the alabaster box. Remember that? And the Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find is that she's about to take that alabaster box. It's very costly. And it's got spikenard in it. And she's about to break the box. And no doubt it was her savings and her life savings, and when she breaks it, she can't put it back together. But let me tell you right now, you'll always do well to give with all of your heart as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find that it was a very costly thing. Notice that, if you will, that over in the book of Matthew in chapter 26, when this record is given in verse number 7, it's called the precious ointment. But in the book of Mark there as well, chapter 14, I believe that it is, and you can just, don't lose your text, but you can just look there for a second. I want to say you're never going to be able to outgive God. As you begin to look there in the passage there in chapter 14 in verse number 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he said at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and she poured it on his head. Now, I want to tell you right now, whenever you begin to look at it, She had an alabaster box that was precious ointment inside. It was a precious thing unto her. It was no doubt, probably, her savings, life savings she was holding for a special moment in time, and now it's come upon her. And she breaks that box and pours that upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, as it runs down, she wipes his feet with the hairs of her head. And what a sight that must have been. Now, here's what I notice that when you begin to look at that. You begin to look there, and boy, everybody's happy, and everybody's noticing that nice odor that's there. It's got to be a pleasant odor that's there. But there's somebody fuming on the side. His name is Judas Iscariot. And why he's fuming is because of the fact, not because he cared for the poor, because he's a thief, and he bare what was in it. I got to tell you right now, Ibs, I've preached for years now, and I can tell you, there have been a lot of thieves in the church. Some of them have bought cars with money that belonged to God. Bought houses with money that belonged to God. Bought, getting the picture. Well, there's a Judas in every crowd. And if you're so fortunate to where you don't never have one, they'll want to rise if you're not careful. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that she's busted the alabaster box, and she can't put it back together. And let me tell you, it's well spent when you spend something on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that when you begin to notice this, is that you'll find in chapter number 14 over there in the book of Mark, I told you we'd read a passage there. It's about verse number 3, if I remember right. As we look there, and he says, "And being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he said it meant, there came a woman having an alabaster box of spikenard, very precious, and break the box and poured it on his head." And boy, as a result of that, it stirs a controversy, doesn't it? Somebody in the crowd's not happy about what has happened. And as a result of that, the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to look, if you will, in verse 6 of Mark chapter 4, verse 14, verse 6. Mark 14, verse 6, "And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." You know, in the day we live in, if you're not careful, is that the devil don't care if you get saved, make a profession, and never do nothing. But boy, if you begin to testify for Jesus and live for Jesus and begin to turn others to Jesus, there's going to be trouble that's going to be started up. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could, and she is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you that wheresoever the gospel is preached throughout the world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her." Now I got to tell you right now, then the next passage, we'll not deal with it, but Judas Iscariot comes out that's going to betray him and goes there and tries to conveniently betray him to the chief priests and so forth and on. Now I want to say to you that make no mistake about him, you've just got to do what you know is right before God. And as you do that, God notices it. God keeps a record of it, just like he did this woman that's here. And it's still being told, we just told it, for a memorial of her and her faithfulness unto the Lord. In this Bible lesson you're beginning to look at is that we thank God for the privilege to be able to serve him in spirit and in truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad when they said unto me, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." And let me say to you is that you'll find out that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ had done such a notable work and power of God manifested in raising Lazarus from the dead, there was many others that began to want to believe on the Lord Jesus because of old Lazarus. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, this is a very precious ointment. Not only it's a very costly ointment. And not only that, but you're going to find out is that here's something. She used to hold it. She used to look at it. She used to anticipate the day she could spend it and use it wisely. But when she broke that box and poured it on the Lord Jesus Christ, the odor began to fill the room. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Everywhere she went the rest of that day, and wherever Jesus went the rest of that day, they noticed that somehow or another this woman smells like that. Where did I smell that odor earlier? Was it from the... Yes, it was from Jesus Christ when we come in contact with Him. Do you know you can't put on Jesus something that doesn't come back on you as well? And boy, what a thing that must have been. I can tell you that it's always good to be in the house of God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when you get out round about in the community, others can tell that you've been with Jesus. You know, Simon Peter and them, they didn't have a bona fide as far as certificate of education that was impressive to anybody. But you could tell that when they went in the day they lived in, people took notice of the fact that they had been with Jesus. You know, if people take notice of the fact that we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, did you realize, though, that when you read this, outside of being over in the book of Acts where there was about 3,000 and sometime there were 5,000, you don't find where these people here had a whole bunch of people jumping up and trusting the Lord and there was big mass. There was not. There was never that way. Never has been that way. It's not that way. That won't be that way tomorrow. Here's what you'd better do is you'd better be able to know that the smell of righteousness is upon you because you've been with Jesus Christ. In this lesson that you're looking at, I want to say to you is that this woman here is that she's busy about the Father's business. Look over in John chapter 11 and about verse 48, and I want to show you why that we must carry the gospel message to a lost and dying world. Notice in John, St. John, chapter 11, verse 48. Now, notice, if you will, verse 47. Let's begin there. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, said, What do we? In other words, they're talking about the Lord now. And boy, as a result of them, they're just absolutely beside themselves because they said, what are we doing? For this man doeth many miracles. In other words, they couldn't deny that. Now, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. That's what's wrong in the world we live in. They're worried more about what the soldiers of another country can do than they are worried about magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you the reason why we keep telling the story. So that men and women and boys and girls can come to know Him in the free pardon of sin, get saved by the wonderful, marvelous, and the grace of God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at here this morning, you're going to find out that pleasant odor that began to fill the room. And people around there knew about it. Some could enjoy it. And I don't know about you, but isn't it good to be able to go down to the house of God and people in harmony? I've sat with people in the days gone by at the house of God, and I've sat down with people before. They had this attitude, Lord, bless me if you can. I don't think you could have made them happy if you'd hung them with a brand new rope. They'd have griped about it. It's too rough. That was too rough. That rope is, you know. I just want to say to you that, if you will, that there are those that will enjoy the Lord, that will enjoy the word of the Lord and the things of God. And let me tell you what happens is when you get real revival in your heart, and I'm not talking about people that just are going through the motions. I'm talking about people that enjoy the Lord, that are not full of envy and not full of strife, people that are joyful and not jealous. When you've got that going on, you've got real revival in your heart. Now, you know what real revival does? It arouses the attention of those that are around you. I was thinking about in the lesson that we're looking at. And that's the reason why I told you when it comes my time to be able to go, that I've got the list typed out. I think Miss Lori's typing it out for me, and I'll give everybody, you'll get a copy of it. And I check around a little bit myself, you know, every now and again, and see if there's anybody that God's tugging at my heart before I put them before you. Now, here's why. I'm not one of them preachers that's going to go ahead and take somebody and tell him, here, you're going to take my place. Where does that come from? I ain't tell you where it comes from. It don't come from God, and tell you that. And here's the reason why I know that. Is because of the fact that you as a church have to listen with your heart, ask those questions, find out if they qualify according to the scripture, And as a result of that, you'll still lose some. I had a person tell me one time, you know, of course, Southern Baptists, here's the way they do it. They said, you got to have at least 75%. I don't believe that either. I don't believe that. Here's what I do believe. I believe that you ought to have the majority. I have no preacher said, I'm not going to take a church that I can't get 100% vote. Well, in the day we live in, you may not ever take one then. If you get 100% vote, somebody's lying about it. See? And a fella told me one time, preacher, I've gotten just over 75%. What would you do? I said, run from that as quickly as you can. Here's why. You're going to automatically lose somebody that Judas has been yeah-yaying in their ear. See? I got to tell you right now is, when it comes time to have a pastor, get another pastor, you'll be the one that'll vote on that with your heart from God, and you'll be the one to make that decision as a majority rules in the house of God. God bless you. I thank you for that amen. I don't have to have it because when I know I'm right, and I can tell you right up front, is that why then do we want to, every time somebody comes forward, why do I ask about the church? If you'll rejoice with me in their decision because you've put your stamp of approval on that. You see that? And let me tell you right now, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, buddy, and what he is saying. And the Bible said that whenever you and I, if a brother is sinned against you, then go and tell him his fault alone. If he won't listen to you, carry a witness with you. And you better be careful about talking to people without a witness, because you'd be surprised how much they'll lie whenever it comes convenient to them. And then if they won't hear them, tell it to the church. That's what it says. That's over in the book of Matthew. So let me tell you, whatsoever the church binds on this earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever it looses on this earth will be loosed in heaven. So you better be very careful about thinking that, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take care, and I want somebody that will preach the same thing I've been preaching. And if you can't do that and as a church select that, I've been wasting my time with you for 30 years. But I don't believe that. I believe you know what's right. And not only that, there are going to be some questions you're going to need to ask yourself. You're going to find that there's a Judas will pop up in every church and do what they can to stir things up. It sounded pretty good, though. I got to admit, it just makes you want to go ahead. And, well, Judas was just concerned about poor people. Well, according to the scriptures, he wasn't. He coveted and was a thief, and he coveted what was in the bag. He didn't really care about the poor at all. That's the kind of world we're living in. I want to say in closing that, if you will, Judas had considered what she gave on the Lord a waste. And I got to tell you, whatever you do for the Lord, whatever you give toward the Lord, is never going to be a waste. In fact, he's able to put back, you can throw a shovel full his way, and he'll throw a corn scoop back yours. You see? Pressing down and shaking together, the Lord will give into your soul. And that's a wonderful thing. I want to say to you that, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ protected her. And here's what he said, let her alone. You know, she's done a good work. You've got the poor with you always. She's done this ahead of my burying. Now, I want to say in closing, I'll be done. You know, you can give a dollar to somebody for lunch. Well, I don't guess now that it probably had worked, but because it's going to be more than that. But you can give a dollar for a lunch, and it lasts maybe 5 hours. You can give a dollar for gas, and you could at least go another mile. You can give a dollar to get your hair cut or set, and it'll last a few days. You can give a dollar for a stocking that'll last maybe a few weeks and a few seconds for some. You can give a dollar toward a new hat. It might last you a season. And you can give a dollar toward a home that'll last a few generations, hopefully. But when you give a dollar toward Christ, it'll last for all eternity. That's the truth of the matter. Now, do you want to get more return for your money? Well, just give as unto the Lord. He's no man's debtor whatsoever. And when you give as unto the Lord Jesus Christ, I can promise you, it'll meet you on the other side. The Bible said, for where a man's treasure is, there shall his heart be also. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. As we get ready to dismiss and go from here today, then maybe you would say, preacher, I just want to thank God for how good he's been to me and what he's done. And so as we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed, our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. I pray your blessings now upon this congregation. I pray that you'd bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. How we plead the blood of Jesus. And may you have your will and way, and we'll thank you and praise you in advance for that in Jesus' name.